All right, welcome back to another episode of Take Foul. It is Tuesday, May 20th, a couple hours before the conference finals kick off. Before we get into our full preview, let's start with going over some of the surprises of the playoffs thus far. Mike, why don't you kick us off with your surprise of the playoffs thus far?
That the Pacers have probably looked like the most complete and dominant team, I think, out of all the remaining teams so far. I know the Cavs were pretty beat up when they played them, but I was expecting to kind of see the same old Pacers, same old Haliburton, but he's looked pretty confident. He's looked pretty strong, and I think that out of the last four, he has been the most, out of all the superstars remaining, I don't think anyone can say it. Anyone's been leaps and shoulders, or heads and shoulders beyond him.
Maybe argue Brunson.
Yeah. Fuck the Brunsons.
I mean, you know, Brunson's been great for sure. And
Foul Bear.
Haliburton is definitely more of like a, you know, less of like a ball dominant one-on-one scorer type of player, and he's more of like the cog in the machine.
But the way he's facilitated his team to the level of success they've had, I feel like, has been better than anyone has really anticipated.
Yeah, I will. I mean, I think for me, it was just how useless the Cavs looked. And part of it is how well the Pacers have been playing, for sure. But it was like this dominant team over the regular season. To go out in five like that was so insane, you know?
Yeah. Like, ugly fashion, too.
And, like, even pre-Tatum injury, I thought it was crazy that the Knicks were able to win both games in Boston, too, you know? And, like, it was...
But
go ahead.
With that, like... It felt a little fluky at some points
yeah.
in that series. Like, the way they won a couple of those games, is like, that felt pretty, like, they had to come back pretty big twice.
Yeah, I mean, it was something like they led by the end of it. Maybe this is excluding the last game, but for, like, 15% of the series, they were in the lead.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was game, maybe, I think it was game four, before the Tatum injury, they went up by 7, and it was like, this is the biggest Knicks lead in this series. And it was like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a lot, you know, it was a lot of Celtics shooting themselves in the foot, too. It felt like those first couple games. But still, definitely surprising. Okay. Ike, what was your big... surprise of the playoffs thus far? It can be big or small or whatever comes to mind.
I guess I would kind of say like the collapse of the Celtics, you know? I mean, it's hard to say like the Tatum thing is a surprise because like it's impossible to predict, but like just where they are now as a franchise versus where they were like a month and a half ago. In terms of outlook, like everyone kind of had locked them in as a finalist. And then now it's like Jason Tatum's out for like next year, probably. Like they're in cap hell with like a terrible Jrue Holiday contract, terrible Kristaps contract. Yeah.
Because like, I, you know, it's sort of unclear who leaked that report from like a month ago or whatever, right before the playoffs were starting, about how the Celtics are going to need to move off of one of those, like presumably one of the role players or Jaylen Brown or something like that. But it is remarkably, you know, no one thought it would be this bad, you know, where Tatum is out for the next, probably most of next year. And they need to move off of Porzingis and Holiday both
like
who
Derek
have
White,
right.
Like
I
they can
mean,
make
I
some
think they'll
combo.
probably keep Derek White, but like, you know, Holiday and Porzingis, I think their stocks are like so low right now, even compared to a
Holiday's
month
like
ago. Like,
35 with like 3 years and some insane number.
Yeah, and he feels like even, you know, slightly better during these playoffs. And, you know, Porzingis has this like mystery illness.
Yeah, he's about to die. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it AIDS?
Can't
breathe. It's all, I've been seeing a lot of
not
Porzingis AIDS talk on Twitter. So you know, I don't know why people are like, this is exactly what the symptoms of AIDS is. It's like, who's out here like knowing the symptoms of AIDS by
AIDS
by
is
by
just
heart?
Like everything is bad. Like your immune system just breaks down
you
entirely.
Have no
right.
immune system.
Yeah, it's like he's feeling weak. And winded.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he
he's
has
got a cough.
AIDS.
Could be.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, well.
But is there a better franchise for this to happen to, though? Like, be honest. Like, is there anyone else that you'd rather not see, like, kind of collapse after they just kind of get back to where they were before?
Probably the Warriors.
Lakers,
but it's sort
maybe.
Of sort of happening there as well, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, but they're finally on their kind of cult like downturn a little bit. I think like the Celtics were looking on the up and up for promising time, but now they're just gonna kinda if Tatum is gonna be out for a long period of time, it's gonna be pretty brutal.
Yeah. I mean, like, I will say there are – I kind of don't hate many of the individual players on the Celtics. But, yes, I agree. It, like, I'm completely okay with the Celtics collapsing. Yeah. All right. Well, let's move right along here. Should we start with bets? All right.
Sure.
So, best series bets, I can go first. The one I liked, this was in player specials on FanDuel. It was Cat to record 10-plus rebounds in every game, which was at plus 370, which is pretty great value for a guy who is the number one rebounder on that team. And I think he should be able to do this if he stays out of foul trouble. I don't think the Pacers are a super heavy rebounding team. They like to get out and run too. So a lot of like the offensive rebounding stuff should be open as well. Yeah, I like that.
I actually had the same one as you, Sam. He's also like minus 450 to win, to have the most rebounds in the series. And I do think it's a, like I was telling you yesterday, it's a Karl Anthony Towns series we're about to see here coming up. So
yeah, we'll see. We'll see, man. I think, and then I'll just go again because this is sort of related to this. And it's Mitchell Robinson to record a double-double in any game, which is at plus 140. So it's a bit of a hedge on the Cat one, because if Carl does get in foul trouble, then they will go with Mitchell Robinson for heavy minutes. And, you know, if he can hit one or two free throws and hit a couple, you know, have a couple dunks, he should be able to get to 10 points. I have my doubts, but I could see it happening at least for one game, and I think it'll be a long series. So
shoots 60% from the three free throw line, right?
60?
No, it seems high.
Yeah, it seems high.
Is it 50?
I don't know. Ike, you go, and I'm gonna look this up. So I'm curious.
He shoots 40%, 39%.
Is this
for his career or this year?
For the playoffs.
For the playoffs, okay. There you go.
Yeah.
My bet for Wolves OKC is firstly the under tonight. I think these are 217.5. I just think these are the two best defenses each team has played by a wide margin, and I think it's going to be like I still don't really know even like what the matchups are going to be necessarily. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of figuring them each other out in this first game, especially because also the regular season was like the matchups were so weird with like a lot of players missing for both teams in every game. So I just see this one as kind of like a scrap. My other one was Ant Edwards, Western Conference Finals MVP plus 360. If the Wolves win the Western Conference Finals, he's probably going to win that award, so.
What was the series? This because the series spread, the Thunder
It's
were pretty
five.
heavily favored, right?
Five and yeah, it's Thunder and five essentially.
Right, but what was like the
Like,
series like odds? Let
well,
me see. Oh, it's
so
plus 295 for
for the
the
Wolves,
Wolves,
yeah.
and then presumably if the Wolves win, it will go to Ant. So yeah, I like that
Yeah, that's
extra
great
value at the
value.
top as well. I will say, Ike, the like you would think that it would be sort of like a defensive minded series, but I think that like the old some of the older scores are actually pretty high scoring.
Year
Yeah, and
or
from this
yeah, it was
year
a high scoring, like, but again,
series,
weird
yeah.
games.
Right, it was like I think
No
it was like no
Gobert,
Gobert,
like
yeah,
no
no,
Randle,
right.
no Holmgren for a couple of them.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
it was a lot of like
And I think if you look
Terrence
at
Shannon running up and down, if I remember.
Jalen Clark went off.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
And if you look at the like at I look at the Thunder's over-unders throughout the playoffs, they have not gone been going over very often. And I don't think you guys have been going over in very many games either.
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, I feel like we really haven't seen a ton of like huge scoring outburst type of series in general. You know, they've all been
No.
sort of hanging around that 100-point mark.
Yes.
And it's been a lot of like just tight defensive possessions for a lot of these teams. Even like, you know, even with the Thunder, I mean the Nuggets playing zone against the Thunder, it was like though that just inevitably slows down those possessions. And I would expect to see the Wolves play a little zone against the Thunder as well. I don't know how much we'll do it. Maybe like the non-Gobert minutes. We'll see.
Yeah. I also had Knicks to be up 2-1 at some point, plus 124.
Plus, wait, that's a bet? Just to
Yeah.
be up 2-1? Like,
It's
in the
just
series?
you mean like just after three
Through three
games.
games.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. My Indiana up 2-1 after three games in the first round hit too. That was a great bet. Mike, you had the cat one that I had, and then what else you had?
I have another cat one. Karl-Anthony Towns recorded one made three in every game played in the series, plus 145.
It's been kind of weird with
Yeah, it has
threes.
been
They haven't
weird.
been shooting as many, but
No.
I just think that he has more than he has the ability to do so, and I don't know. I think I think this is a big cat series coming up. It would not have hit in the last round by I think like two games. He did not hit a three in, but
Yeah. Is Kat your player to watch?
yes, I
So
think also
let's
he got into
transition
foul
into
trouble
talking about
early on
that.
in
Go ahead.
I think he got into foul trouble early on in games in that last series where it kind of hindered his ability to do so, but
That's not infrequent.
yeah. And I also saw like a rumor that his hand is hurt or something.
Yeah, then he kind of overdid it in their last game, I think, with threes, where he took a bunch and like went over or something, like really bad percentage.
Yeah.
He didn't go, oh,
No,
he
he
made
definitely
like
hit one. I
one.
definitely had
Yeah,
like
I think he had
one
like
in
one.
my head, but yeah. All right.
But yeah, I think Karl-Anthony Towns, my player to watch in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think Jalen Brunson is obviously probably been their best player throughout these playoffs. but I think that someone else is going to have to help carry the load a little bit. And I think Cat's their, I do think Cat is their second best player. I think some people might disagree and say, okay, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think it will be a lot will be hinging on Cat from both sides of the ball. And I am a little concerned of, I mean, considering he did hold up okay against the Celtics defensively for the most part. I mean, you know, he looked a little running around, but they did win the series. So, but like I do sort of question, like, you know, I assume they'll just put him on Turner. But I can see how it would be difficult for him to be in, you know, maybe a bit of a drop and then try to recover to Turner on a pick and pop and then, you know, get put into the Pacers spin cycle like that. I don't think the Pacers are as matchup hunty as the Celtics. And so I'm not sure how much they'll like go after him like that, but I can see Halliburton, you know,
Yeah,
handling
I
the
do
ball.
just kind of worry about him with like crafty point guards, like people who can really kind of pick apart like minor errors in defense.
That's
Or
where
he can get
Halliburton's.
away with a lot because of his size and like just mostly good low defense, but like he makes a lot of like maybe marginal errors that might, yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Conversely, I do think that he, if they put Turner on him, I don't think Turner can hang with Kat, especially on the perimeter with like, you know, I assume you can just, you know, pump fake and dribble by him pretty easily.
You
I
wonder if
do
they
think,
could
go ahead.
Siakam, like, I wonder if
Yeah,
that's maybe
I
better
could
for
definitely see them sticking Siakam on him just because of the lateral quickness, and then putting Turner on like Josh Hart or something like that,
that.
as a bit of a roamer. Turner is actually my guy, because he's been playing pretty well in the playoffs. He shot 9 of 16 from three against Cleveland. Is, you know, a prototypical pick and pop center. It's really the battle between like the best pick and pop centers in the NBA, I think. And like the question is, you know, are they going to put Turner on Josh Hart, and how effective will Josh Hart be in, you know, getting those little cuts and drives, and if he can shoot threes. He's got a sl Hart has a slower shot, so I think Turner will be able to recover there, but he's been averaging like 2.8 blocks through the two series,
Playoffs.
yeah, in the playoffs, and has been getting a ton of those. And I think a lot of that should be open up if he's able to like sort of roam around a little bit around the basket with a lesser defensive player as his primary cover. So definitely interested to see what he'll do. And have you guys seen that video of him? He's like reacting to a woman on
No.
TikTok, and he like has like a butter knife, but there's like some peanut butter on it. I don't know. I'll find it. He's kind of a weird dude.
He's a super weird dude. He's
Yeah. He loves his Legos.
definitely on the spectrum.
Yeah, get him to take that face test or whatever. Ike, your Eastern Conference play to watch?
Mitch Rob. Just want to see what happens. Want to see what they do with them, the
To
Pacers.
see, yeah, if they go with Hack-a-Mitch.
Shaq. I mean,
Celtics, like, I mean, because he looked really good when against the Celtics when he was out there, like, especially defensively. Like, I thought he was like really effective But then it's just like they foul him once and he's gone.
Yeah,
It was like.
I mean that decision was criticized by Mazzulla, where he just got them into the bonus, and Jalen Brunson's like,
Yeah. Foul
hold my
baited the
beer,
whole
you know?
time.
Oh, y'all are over the foul limit, like
Yeah.
it's time to eat.
Got some added value.
But like it, that sort of is a testament to how dominant Mitch Robb was on both sides.
Yeah.
It was a great day on
Yeah,
Twitter
for
when ESPN put out the bigger than basketball
sure.
tweet.
They're
You
cheering.
see this, Ike?
No.
They showed a clip of the Knicks crowd like cheering really hard after he made a free throw. And they're
Hungry
like,
heart.
it's bigger than basketball, like Orange Heart, and is like,
Yeah.
oh God. Like
Yeah.
it's not like he's blind.
Yeah.
As someone
Just
who was a sub 5,500 free throw shooter in my time, it can be pretty daunting stepping to the line and just having no clue what to do up there, you know? So I think that was a good moment from New York, from a fan base that can be pretty tough on their players.
yeah, you should have showed the video where he airballed the one like right before that.
Yeah, I would also add that it's not bigger than basketball. It is basketball, actually. And I
Your
don't
sixth
think
man center, backup center
I don't
coming
think it
on.
gets
By
any bigger
definition,
than
it is
that.
basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, I would also venture to say your form is probably a little bit better than Mitchell Robinson's,
I
Mike.
mean, he's shooting with one hand.
Like, I don't know
He's
what's
shooting with
going
one
on
hand.
there. I just
How'd he
shoot
get this
underhand,
far?
bro.
How'd he get this far not doing that, is my
Just shoot
question. Like, how did no
underhand.
one tell him, like, not to do that?
No one wants to be made fun of, and he just needs to change his form and shoot underhand. I mean, Sohan started shooting one-handed and improved his thing,
Yeah.
and he was not afraid to do so. Time for
He's
Mitch Robb
trying.
to go in between the legs.
Follow his pride.
Swallow his pride, exactly. Okay. Let's move on to the Minnesota Thunder series. Ike, who you got?
Lu Dort.
Oh, calling out Dort.
Well, just in terms of like he'll be guarding Ant and
Yeah.
he'll be the guy that they'll probably like funnel the ball to. Like out of their perimeter guys, like they'll try to get it out of Shea's hand, and it'll be really important whether or not he makes shots.
Yeah.
So
I think
we'll see.
like with Dort, he actually in the Nuggets series, I believe he was the I think he was the favorite, still a plus like 300 or something favorite, but still the favorite to have the most threes in the series, which I thought
Made
was
or taken?
made, which I thought was really interesting. And he is certainly capable of hitting threes. What he's incapable of doing is putting the ball on the floor
Anything else, yeah.
after. Like,
Layups.
and so, like, if there's a way to funnel the ball to him, close out on the initial shot, make him go to the basket, and like,
Yeah.
then that's great, you know?
Yeah.
He can't do anything after he like the wide open three is taken care of.
He's a 3-and-D specialist. I don't know why we're trying to change his role right now. No one ever, he's never been asked to have to put the ball on the ground.
I mean,
That's the
I don't
idea.
disagree.
The idea is the opposition is to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are talking about what the Wolves have to do.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
From a Wolves
Fair.
perspective,
Fair enough.
that's what you want to do. I mean, it is incredible, like how, people talked about how chaotic Carl's drives were to the basket. I was like, look at this guy, man.
Yeah.
He goes downhill, nothing good happens.
Have you seen the clips of him dribbling with his eyes down? It's tough.
Oh,
It's tough.
He's doing the Luke Bishop.
Yeah, it's not great. I'm a Dort guy. Yeah. You guys know that, but it's not great.
shout out to Luke, man. Okay, my player is Dante DiVincenzo.
He's my Wolves option.
Yeah, so Dante is, through this playoff so far, is the worst volume shooter in the NBA. And he's shooting around 25% for the playoffs. It's just been, and it's a little weird because it's like when the team is playing well, in the games where it was not game five against the Lakers or game one against the Warriors, where the entire team just shoots awfully. I guess it's like what I'm trying to say is like there's bits and spurts where it seems like Dante is playing well. Like I think he had like a huge and one against Rui Hachimura down the stretch in game four. And he's had some moments, it feels like.
But generally, he has like impact plays on defense too. Where, I don't know if I'd say he's been good defensively, but he's always trying and he's always seemingly confident.
Yeah, he's trying for sure, and he's certainly capable. I think is the main thing. What I worry about is, of course, this shooting lull. It's something that we saw at the beginning of the season. Where he just can't hit open threes and no one knows why. And then also I think he's a pretty turnover prone guy. When, you know, he's running around and trying to make a pass in the air, or he'll put a forearm shiver into someone while he's trying to create separation. And that had happened a number of times against the Warriors. And the Thunder are the best team in the NBA at forcing turnovers. So, you know, like it could really go either way, and it could be a little bit of both where he shoots pretty well, but still does a lot of stupid shit on offense. But I think he could definitely swing, a game or two with his shooting, and that's why he's my player to watch. Mike?
I got two, actually, one from each team. First one, Julius Randle. I think he has sneaky been very, very good over these playoffs, and I don't think he's getting a lot of the recognition that he probably deserves, considering how harsh people are on him out the gate and, like, through kind of, like, walls in the season. Like, I think over the last, like, I think I was looking at the 10-game split, he has, like, 18 points on, like, over 50% shooting, over 40% from three. Like, I think he's been probably one of the, like, obviously Ant's been terrific, but he's been, like, right there as, like, the reason you guys are there. And then also, SGA, I think he's really got to prove that he is the best player in the league this series, because I think there are some arguments to be made that he is just on the best team, and there might be guys, specifically a guy on the other side of him this series who might be better.
Last series
too, but this series also might be some arguments.
I would say that I'm not sure if anyone left last series being like, oh yeah, Shea's better than Jokic.
I mean, Shea's still favored to win MVP right now.
And it will go to him most likely. I think I saw a report that you know there's that one guy on Twitter that tracks all of like the media members who say their vote in podcasts or whatever, and Shea is pretty favored there, still up in the air. I don't know, like. People thought that they might fuck around and announce it before Game 7, which would have been crazy. but they just announced all rookie today. Maybe the MVP's coming. But it does... I guess it's a little later in the year than usual.
Why is it not on, like, a tight schedule? Why is it also...
I don't know.
Crap.
I mean,
what are they doing?
I guess because of this specifically, where it's like if we pick this date and it happens to be game seven between the Nuggets and the Thunder, it could just influence too much psychologically, I guess. But whatever. yeah, the Shea thing is interesting. I think there will be a lot of trying to get the ball out of his hands, for sure. And, you know, Jalen Williams, who's sort of seen as their second best option, has been up and down throughout this playoffs. So we'll see how that goes as well. All right. So question for the Pacers-Knicks series, Mike.
Pacers-Knicks, can Kat be the best player in the series? Am I answering the question? I was gonna. Am I
just ask it?
Okay. Will Karl Anthony Towns be the best player in this series?
Okay.
You guys know answering my question or no?
I think unlikely. I think it is a favorable matchup for him, for sure. He's never exactly been like a fast break type of player, but I think there are a lot of sort of half transition type of situations that he's been able to take advantage of, where, you know, the defense isn't quite matched up or something, and he can just drive to the basket and no one's there, type of thing. Ultimately, I think I've seen enough with the Knicks where it is going to be a lot of Brunson. And that's sort of what I see happening. But, yeah. Ike?
How do they have Reggie Miller announcing every single game of this series?
Wait, what do you mean?
He's announcing every game of the Knicks-Pacers series, and he's, like, the most hated human alive in the context of that game.
Yeah, that seems a little...
Like, if I were a Knicks fan, I'd be like, you just have our, like, biggest... Yeah, a Knicks fan, I'd be like, you just have our biggest enemy announcing every single game.
Yeah.
And I have to, like, listen to that.
I mean...
I guess...
Breen... And Richard Jefferson were pretty.
Yeah, I New mean, it's another thing. Richard Jefferson's kind of just a bitch about it, too. Like, what does he have to be? Like, is he's from New York or what?
He played for the Nets for a while.
Yeah, but, like, what? I know he is. It always seems like it, but it's like, what do you. Yeah, but, I mean, still, like, that just seems like. I mean, maybe there's nothing they can do about it, but yeah.
They needed something to get those New York fans awake for this series, you know? It seems a little dead out there.
Right, yeah.
Fire them up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like this eternal, like, mentality of, like, the world fucking is against us,
New York versus everybody.
Yeah, New York versus everybody. And it's like, you're in the biggest market in the country. Players would love to go play for the Knicks, to live in New York. Like, they get all the nationally televised games. Maybe, you know, maybe it's not all that. So I was listening to a media podcast yesterday, and Reggie Miller, I think, got picked up by NBC, I want to say. And then Mike Tirico is the number one guy for NBC. No, not a Tirico guy, Ike.
No.
You don't like Mike? What?
You don't like Mike Tirico?
Mike Tirico is the Sunday night football announcer. Like, what? When's the last time he did basketball? He's also not very good at that.
When they
used to do the NBC basketball,
yeah, like 20 years ago,
I think he started as a basketball guy.
I don't know about that, but I don't even like him for football, so.
All right. I mean, Tirico hater we got here. Just, I think he'll be great. I think, and then Ian Eagle is going to be the number one guy for Amazon.
He's
Oh my
way
God,
better than Mike
Eagle.
Tirico.
Don't like Ian Eagle.
Much better. Both of them.
I don't mind either, to be honest. My question is, so is Kevin Harlan just done from basketball? Which feels like an absolute travesty, dude.
Yeah. He didn't get picked up by NBC.
I don't know. You know what?
Look
I
it
don't
up.
think so, but like he's not the number one guy, right?
Yeah. He's way better than Tirico.
I have another like
Yeah,
similar
he's
question to
going
Roman.
to prime.
Okay.
You guys hear Doris Burke say the N-word?
What?
You guys hear Doris Burke say the N-word?
No.
She said Knickerbocker.
Said I
Said New
wasn't
York
talking about Steve
Knickerbocker.
Kerr, son.
No. Oh, okay, yeah. So Kevin Harlan is going to Amazon. So it's like a weird thing where the TNT guys are just sort of being split up, you know? And there's this sort of this like eulogy about goodbye TNT, but it's like,
You gonna watch
well,
the
what are we
documentary?
doing? Hell no.
No.
Wait, what documentary?
Making a documentary about their last season as inside the NBA.
Like The Last Dance, but it's
Yeah.
just
Wait, that's crazy.
fucking Charles Barkley not watching basketball.
Yeah.
Sweet. Awesome. Okay. So here's my question for Pacers New York. It's more serious, I guess. It's not that interesting, but it's like, can the Knicks slow the Pacers down, in terms of the Knicks style? It's much more like half court grindy, and I thought Cleveland prefers to do that as well. And I think it's really easy for teams to, you know, they're all super athletes that love to run up and down. Unless you're like Jokic, so it's easy to get caught up in like the Pacers' transition style basketball of up and down, but that's exactly how the Pacers want to play all game long.
Yeah.
And if the Knicks play that way, I think they are at a severe disadvantage and will consistently be put out of position to defend. So I think Cleveland really, you know, struggled with that. And I think also the Pistons had some aspects of this sort of run and gun kind of thing to use their athleticism with like Ausar Thompson and Ron Holland and stuff, guys that just can't shoot but can really run and attack the basket and stuff. And the Knicks sort of struggled with that. Whereas the Celtics were just trying to like run as many pick and rolls as they could to get Brunson on Tatum or Brown.
Yeah.
And the Knicks were sort of able to game plan out with that a little more. So that I think that's my big thing to watch for Pacers Knicks is the pacing.
I actually saw an interesting thread on Twitter this morning about that was addressing that, Sam, about a guy who's saying that the way the Knicks can slow the Pacers' kind of movement down is through Brunson and through like the foul stuff. You know, like he does draw, he
Yeah.
did draw like the second most amount of fouls per game, and like just that act of slowing it
Dude, I
down to
heard
move
that
against
stat, bro.
balls.
It's
Yeah,
crazy.
like. I think that is something that kind of goes unnoticed sometimes because it's not in the actual like game clock, but it does slow down teams pretty effectively.
Yeah, it slows down the real clock.
Yeah.
Where it's just like this game is, you know, they all just sort of are stagnant and it's hard to get momentum when the whistle keeps getting blown for sure. My question for OKC Wolves is, can the Wolves make an entry pass? We saw Denver struggle pretty mightily, especially in Game 7, with making an entry pass to Jokic. And I can see the Thunder really collapsing on Julius Randle in that sort of interior way. I think the Wolves can shoot a little better, for sure. But I can still see the Thunder collapsing on him like that. And I don't know. I really don't trust anyone other than Mike Conley to effectively throw an entry pass into Julius Randle in the post, or Naz Reid for that matter. And so I'm looking out for that entry pass.
Yeah, it does seem with Julius, like, maybe like almost half the time though, he'll get the ball at the 3-point line and then just turn it into a post up.
Yeah,
like it's a lot of the time it just feels like broken possession, just get down there and shove. But like,
right, yeah, he'll like post up like a foot in from the 3-point line and then
dig his way down.
Yeah,
but I don't really think anyone besides Conley's ever really been able to throw an entry pass. Like,
that's true. Yeah,
this dude. Like, no.
But it's the hardest team to throw an entry pass against.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mike, you're making a face.
That doesn't feel great.
They have Gobert down there, and like Randle, like gets Randle, like he doesn't really like. Again, he gets it like higher up than usual. Like, I don't think it's much of an entry pass thing with him that often. Like, obviously there are times where you run that, but it seems like he creates a lot of that himself.
Are we concerned with the fact that they have a lot of different matchup options they can go with you against you guys defensively?
I think, like, obviously it's better to have more options defensively, but like, I don't really know. I think Julius is a pretty bad matchup for most guys on their team, the way he's been playing this offseason. Like, he can bruise Chet. Jalen Williams, like, is a decent option, but he's kind of small. And, like, Julius Randle, like, last series, like, you would see him posting up Draymond 1v1 and be like, now is not the time. And he like did incredibly well against him. So it was kind of like, you can double him, but like, that's.
What about an Alex Caruso matchup?
That's what I was going to say is what I am worried about is Caruso just absolutely hacking the shit out of him. And then the refs just not calling it, like we saw in Game 7.
Just happened.
With Jokic.
Just wrestling Jokic.
It's just, and he's extremely strong at 6'4", too. So I'm definitely worried about that, for sure. And that's definitely something that I'll be looking out for.
You're going to be on Twitter yelling.
I'm worried about that for small portion of the game, honestly. Like, that might happen a few times, but on the whole, I think if they match up Caruso and Julius Randle one-on-one, I don't feel terrible about that.
Did you see the thing on Twitter that there's, like, some loser from, like, some OKC blog quote-tweeting a thing where Dagnall was asked about like the refs or something.
Yes.
And it was like, oh yeah, like this is good for Mark Dagnall to get out ahead of this because Chris Finch is gonna control the media to shift the narrative about the refs and then like have the refs, you know, be on his side. And I was like, dude, I think like the 4D chess here needs to like I don't know how much the refs.
I think both coaches are probably just going to bitch about the refs.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I don't know, whatever. That Dagnall guy, man, he's pretty bad at challenges, don't you think? I feel like he's been pretty fucking bad at challenges.
I guess I haven't noticed.
He had a ton of really weird ones against Denver. Like
Yeah,
every
like
like
early too. Like
yeah.
early,
Oh yeah.
he'll just like look up at the monitor and be like, ah,
Yeah, just like
and then
lose
lose
his
it, you know,
mind.
and just lose it. And I was like, I
Yeah.
mean, you know, I guess that's maybe that's part of being a younger coach. Ike, your OKC Minnesota question.
Will the Wolves be able to shoot three pointers?
Yeah.
They've just been horrible. They haven't had a sink. I guess not horrible. It's just been incredibly streaky, kind of, because I think they're like 35%, which is like not good, but needs to be better. They don't have a single guy above 40% besides Naz Reid, which feels
Who
kind
is
of weird.
Randall?
No, he's not. I checked it.
I think he's 42 from the last 10
In the
games.
playoffs, he's 35%.
How many games of playoffs do you have left?
34.5%.
How many playoff games do you have left?
10, but I'm looking
He's
at
42 for
postseason
the last
stats.
10.
I'm looking at 3-point percentage
From
shooting
his last
stats.
10, it says 42 on ESPN.
Ike, you on Stat Muse?
I'm on ESPN, Minnesota Timberwolves, postseason stats 2024, 2025. Julius Randle has 34.5% 3-point percentage.
Yeah, I mean,
Strong.
look, regardless of what Randall's percentage is, I think this is definitely a big swinger, you know, and it's almost cliche to be like, oh yeah, whoever wins the 3-point battle is going to win, but both of these teams have been shooting very poorly in the playoffs going into this series, and we know both teams are capable of hitting them. So whoever sort of like what's the
Yeah.
opposite of regress? Like digresses to
Progress.
the progresses to the mean.
Progresses.
Yeah,
Yeah.
progresses to the
Retreats
mean.
to the mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it could swing the series for sure. Mike?
Yeah.
Kind of going off what we're talking about not teams not scoring a lot of points overall in these playoffs, I think a lot of teams have been pretty bad from three. Like, I think that was the Celtics' biggest issue in their series, too. It's just like no one's hitting right now. And yeah, I think like obviously hitting, playing winning basketball in today's era is hitting threes. So yeah, you're gonna want to make your shots.
Is there something going on?
Are they have they shrunk in the size of the rim?
Has Adam Silver been listening to the idiots on Twitter that are like, basketball sucks because all they do is take threes?
They want to see the
And when
triangle.
there's the most eyeballs on the NBA in the postseason, he said, oh, y'all want to shoot threes?
No.
Yeah.
We've put a little man in the ball who's gonna jump around every time you take a shot from behind the arc.
Yeah, with the Wolves too, it's like Na and Dante DiVincenzo are both sub 30%, which is like, what the hell is that?
I don't know what's going on with Nikhil, bro.
It feels like Julius Randle's better than 34.5, but
I think he's at 42, like that's
Mike, I swear to
probably.
God, you must be looking at the regular season stats because he was really good to end the regular season, but I'm literally looking at the Timberwolves playoff stats right now.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm certain. Jaden's at the exact same percentage as Julius Randle at 34.5. Ant's at like 38.5, which is fine. But yeah, I don't know. It's just
Yeah, I think I was listening to some podcast where they're talking about corner threes specifically and how
Yeah.
Oklahoma City gives up a larger percentage of corner threes than
Doing
most,
more
like
pod.
most of the teams in the playoffs or whatever. And they were able to get away with that when it was like Christian Brown or Michael Porter Jr. with one arm or Peyton Watson in the corner. And like, the question will be, you know, if Nikhil or Dante or Jaden are able to like hit some of those, that could definitely be.
I'd like to see them stick Mike Cotton. I know like you kind of need him handling the ball a lot more, but if he could like actually get to the corner and hit threes like Mike Conley, that would be like a really valuable way to have him on the court as opposed to.
How would you kind of have?
He could have Ant be the ball handler.
But how are you going to have him feed the ball inside if he's the only one who can throw an entry pass, apparently?
We don't need to throw entry passes.
Yeah, you don't have to run Rudy, post up every possession, Mike.
You got Rudy Gobert down there. You probably don't want to go down into the paint overly aggressively with him down there. But
all right. Mike, your question?
My question, I got this from a also from Twitter. This guy had a really interesting thought. It was a Lakers fan. Is this series bad for basketball? Two small market teams playing in the Western Conference Finals. Is this the worst thing that happened to the NBA since the death of Kobe Bryant?
I think both teams have pretty transcendent stars that kind of transcend market. would be the best?
Shit. I guess. What do you want? Mike wants Knicks Lakers.
They wanted the Lakers Celtics final. Obviously, that would be the best.
Yeah.
Or Western Conference Finals. What, Lakers Clippers?
Yeah. Lakers Warriors.
Yeah, but Lakers Warriors would have happened in the second round.
Yeah. I mean, Lakers Clippers is the answer, but. There you go. That's the best final.
All right, predictions.
Wolves in six. Maybe five.
I have Wolves in six as well. I see them finishing it out at home if they are to.
That's a good point.
If they are to do it, I think it would be difficult to win on the road.
It's honestly for the better that he's gone for this part.
Yeah.
So. Let's go. Wolves in five.
We have Wolves in five. Okay.
And Wolves then, in five. I don't know. Who do you got? What do you got for the other one?
I have Pacers in seven, bro.
I kind of want to do that.
I want the Knicks
to
win.
Afraid.
I want the Knicks to win, but I think the Pacers have looked to be the better team. I
kind of feel like the opposite way. Not, I do think the Pacers have looked better, but like I'm having a tough time picking against New York.
Yeah,
even though I want to.
Their top, the New York's top end talent is probably better, but
yeah. I'll go Pacers in seven, then Wolves again in five.
Oh, so Wolves Pacers final? That actually might be Adam Silver's nightmare.
Yeah, that would be. I hate watching the Timberwolves play against the Pacers. It might just be that one game scarring one, but
for sure.
They do just like control pace and make it just nonsense, like just madness. It's just like.
They love the chaos. And I mean, look, I don't know if Obi Toppin is gonna be like turning into
God.
Fucking prime Steph Curry again, but
we'll
have to see. All right, well, we'll wrap it there. Okay, hold on. Let me get you back in here. You're not on yet. Coming in 3, 2, 1. All right, we got Mike back. Predictions, go.
Thunder in six. Knicks in seven.
All right. Opposite of Ike and I. I had Wolves in six, Pacers in seven, and Ike, you had?
You had Wolves in five. I had Wolves in six. Didn't?
No, I had Wolves in six.
I had Wolves in six too, but we both agreed to switch it to Wolves in five because that's how it goes.
I didn't realize.
But then yes. Wolves in five and again in the finals.
Wolves Pacers in the finals. Wolves in five. Okay, yeah. Mike, your finals. Thunder, Batman. Knicks.
Man, I think the heat melted your microphone.
Yeah, I don't know. Just do
write it on a piece of paper. Yeah. We'll say it out loud.
Just say it. Just say it. Knicks in five. Six. Okay. All right, things are melting down. Like we got to stop this. This has just been the longest prediction segment. All right, thanks for tuning in. Catch y'all. Bye.